best known for his Hello and welcome to Movies on the Radio. My name's Heath. Thanks for listening. You are tuned into our monthly showcase of the sights and sounds of experimental cinema here on WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Today, we're going to be listening into music by the Canadian experimental filmmaker and recording artist Michael Snow. In the world of avant-garde cinema, Snow is probably best known for his association with what the film scholar and critic P. Adam Sitney has termed the structural experimental film. These are films like his 1967 Wavelength, which is more or less a 45-minute zoom shot exploring the space of a more or less empty loft, as well as one of my favorites, his 1971 film, La Région Centrale, which uses a camera mounted to a articulating robotic arm that spins around observing the deserted, desolate landscape of a Canadian mountaintop. Really beautiful, really rigorous filmmaking that I encourage you all to check out. As much as anything, his films are about the apparatus of the cinematic image, how exactly the cinematic technology produces the image. And the pieces of music, that we're going to be listening to today do the same thing with recorded sound. I have in my hand his record, The Last LP, Unique Last Recordings of the Music of Ancient Cultures. I guess you could call it a concept album, though not in the way of a Sgt. Pepper's or anything like that. Maybe it's more aptly described as a kind of self-referential media artifact. Yeah, okay, but so what does that mean? It's a record that is as much about the past and future of music as it is about the past and future of recording technology itself. It's also, and I hope you'll see what I mean by this in just a minute, it's also a piece of satire and musical forgery. To really sort of get the record, you have to spend some time with it as a physical object, first and foremost. So, the cover presents us with a sort of ancient-looking, kind of cuneiform image of two figures playing sort of, I don't know, trumpet, horn-like instruments around a blazing campfire. And the back contains some extensive notes which purport to explain the origins of the music on the recording, which again purports to be an ethnomusicological collection of recordings of ancient and dying cultures. It's a little lengthy, but I wanted to take some time to read it to you now because I think it's really crucial to understanding and appreciating what exactly it is Snow is trying to do with this collection of music. So here we go. The last LP, assembled by Michael Snow, an introduction. The title of this album, while hopefully an exaggeration, refers to the eventual disappearance of the 33 and 1/3 RPM microgroove vinyl stylus format. The passing of the long playing record seems inevitable as newer recording formats advance and earlier ones evolve new forms. This technological forced obsolescence within the industrial world resembles the effects of the technology-based societies on the ancient traditional societies. Thus, this collection of rare music derived from threatened, obsolete, or now extinct cultures from around the world is perhaps, unfortunately, a factor in their disappearance. However, we feel that ethnomusicology can be and has been helpful to the entire human species by assisting in the possible continuity of ancient directions. In further deference of recording technology and the effects of its intrusion into other cultures, it could be said that the living in certain cultures in the past might not have been pleasant for many people. Be that as it may, we feel that as much of the music of these cultures that can be perpetuated should be. This record was produced in memory of the creativity of these ancient cultures. Not even millions of LPs could adequately present samples of the incredible range and richness of the remaining traditional musics of the world. This LP was not composed to attempt that. Created under the direction of the noted Canadian musician and visual artist Michael Snow, several criteria for this LP have intersected. A primary consideration for inclusion here is musical excellence, admittedly from an educated but ethnocentric point of view. Further, the music in each case represents the only known or last recorded example of a rare ancient music. The work had survived in ancient notation preserved in monasteries, palaces, libraries, or it had been passed on acoustically and orally. These ancient pieces have continued to be performed in cultures which were at the time of their recording losing their age-old cohesive social structure, or since the recording have indeed lost it and are now destroyed, dispersed, ruined, or thoroughly altered. Mr. Snow chose to compose what he hopes will be considered as a single work, albeit made up of discrete, distinctive, individual elements: the LP record, the music, the text, and the jacket. Rarity and oddity were sought. Our first selection on side A is an example of this, and other subtler kinds of qualifications for inclusion. The ancient Chinese piece was played to announce the arrival of the emperor, Wu Ting. It was also called the Mockingbird Overture and includes whistling. The emperor was fond of birds, particularly the mockingbird, who of course can sing his own song, but he can also sing the song of any bird he hears. He can copy other sounds, the bark of a dog, a policeman's whistle, and often sings his entire repertoire one after another. This oral chameleon is thus more pertinent to the project than it is possible to express here. The title also referred to the fact that this piece is antiphonal. Two instrumentally identical groups face each other across a hall, and there is a great deal of imitation by one side of the other, which is also strikingly relevant for this album as a whole. Local and ritual are meshed in ancient societies, so we have given great emphasis to an inclusion of the sound qualities of the environment in which a performance took place, and which are, in fact, the electrical replay qualities of the grooved message. The music has been chosen to represent the extremes and particular points of the musical continuum designated by staccato and legato, the musical equivalent of consonants and vowels. the sound producing and instrumental categories have been consciously used in a way that attempts to demonstrate their relationship to the socio-philosophical and religious attitudes of the ancient world. First was the voice, vocal music, spoken, solo, and ensemble song. Next, representation, from the membranophones, drums, which is a category of idiophones, or tuned percussion instruments, such as gongs and lithophones, but which also includes clapping and foot stamping. Chordophones are stringed instruments, bowed or plucked. We have chosen a recording of a Chinese plectrum instrument, the hui tra, but no bowed instrument, deciding that musically speaking, the sostenuto effect would be taken care of by members of the aerophone family, which includes all blown wind instruments. For this album, we have featured the horns or trumpets of the Amitabha Chenden Kala and the whistling on Wu Ting Di Lin Chao Chui. The acoustic means of producing sound, which are unfathomably ancient in human history, are inextricably interwoven with religious philosophical views about the nature of the universe. Through most ancient cultures, the four elements have been considered to be earth, air, fire, and water, and this recording reflects this. Our instrumental selection surprisingly encompasses both the acoustic and the electronic. Further, foregrounding the close interrelation of primitive bodily activity with these elements, a larger prior categorization being a customary differentiation or juxtaposition of nature and culture on the part of cultural anthropologists, was important to Mr. Snow in both political and social and aesthetic senses. The music on this record was assembled from diverse sources. French, German, Russian, English, American, and Canadian musicologists have all made contributions. The first practical method of recording sound was devised by Leon Scott for his Phonoautograph of 1857. In 1877, Thomas Alva Edison made advances which were immediately improved upon by Alexander Graham Bell and others. Then, in 1888, Edison made his phonograph commercially available to the public, a machine which played grooved wax cylinders. It is sometimes thought that discs were developed later, but this is not so, as Emil Berliner was working on the disc method in 1887 and had his gramophone for sale in 1888. Discs soon became standard, as they could be mass-produced, whereas cylinders had to be individually made. The new invention was, of course, a sensation. Dr. William Channis wrote in Illustrated London News, 3rd August 1878, "Spoken languages will be preserved from century to century with all the peculiarities of pronunciation, dialect, and brogue." As we go now to see the Stereopticon, we shall go to the public halls or galleries of sound where the treasures of speech and song will be brought out and reproduced as loud or louder than when first spoken or sung by the truly great ones of this earth. Within a dozen years, some of the great singers will be induced to sing into the ear of the phonograph, and the electrotyped cylinders thus obtained will be put into the hand organs of the streets, and we shall hear the actual voices of our best singers ground out at every street corner. This astute article went on to mention the possibilities of recording, quote, "the waves on the beach, the noises of animals, even the tumult of battles." Many famous personages were invited by Edison to record their reaction to the new invention. In 1888 was this from Sir Arthur Sullivan. "For myself, I can only say that I am astonished and somewhat terrified at the results of tonight's experiments. Astonished at the wonderful power you have developed, and terrified at the thought that so much hideous and bad music may be put on record forever. We are confident that the music of the last LP cannot be so described. The thrill of authenticity aroused by the first recordings has continued to be a factor in our perception of recorded music. That there is a direct transmission through engravings of acoustic vibrations produced in the past by musical instruments played in some other room through their emanation from our loudspeakers is the suspension of disbelief of the sound recording medium. Yes, magic. It is still a thrill to be able to hear Louis Armstrong's Hot 7 play Potato Head Blues in 1929 in Chicago, or the exquisite last recording, 1950, of the great classical pianist Dino Lipatti, who died shortly after making them. But recording itself has recently gone through some subtle and important changes, which might, ought to, will alter the above-mentioned form of oral belief. From being an instrument of documentation, sound recording has become a musical instrument itself. Recording has become as much a process of creation as of memorization. This sense of recording was an important part of the great Canadian classical pianist Glenn Gould's thought about the future of music. Aural space is now created in a way that relates interestingly to the structural innovations of perspective in the Renaissance visual art. Multi-track taping has introduced the deception of ensemble. The impression played simultaneously is more and more constructed by an assembling of tape tracks, each of which was played/recorded on a separate occasion. Working with this as a truth of the music, the compatibility of electronically produced sound, synthesizers, drum machines, samples with recordings, is another side of this new simulacrum. And as an open raison d'etre of the recording product artifact is still extremely rare, as is hearing it. We must also take note of what seems like the triumph of equal temperament in the East, as an extraordinary violinist, cellist, and pianist, interpreters of the West's classical, romantic, and modern repertoires, seemingly pour out of Korea, Japan, and China, and rock and roll pounds its basic harmonies around the world. And Sony is, after all, Japanese. The internal combustion engine was, of course, followed by our other great old machine, the piano. And the present development of electronic music instruments is largely Japanese. It is interesting to note that the period from the start of recording's presence, roughly after 1900, is the most intensely creative period in musical history. Recording has been a decisive factor in the astonishing range and depth of music produced, especially by making available for study far more music than a previous lifetime of listening could have encompassed. This is a triumph of technology in its most beneficent, gratifying aspect. Against the losses of ancient social musics, we must balance the arrival of new global creative individual with previously undreamed of resources and possibilities. Wow. Okay. So a pretty dense little theoretical essay there, which seems to be more or less historically accurate in most points, especially with regard to its meditation on the way recording technology has reconfigured what was previously our totally ephemeral relationship to any given performance of piece of music. The notes go on to give track listings, which I'll share with you now. So on side A, there is Wu Ting Di Lin Chao Chui in English, announcing the arrival of the Emperor Wu Ting by the Orchestra of the National Music Institute, Seoul, Korea. Track 2, Si Nopo Da, or By What Signs Will I Come to Understand, by the women of the Bo Sa So Sho tribe, Niger, Southeast Africa. Track 3, O Wachira, Water Ceremony, performed by the Myantonomi and Cree Tribes people, Quebec, Canada. Track 4, I Ching Di Yen Sen, The Strings of Love, Tarn Wing Lun of the Hui Tra, recorded in Ontario, Canada. Track 5, Pol Novi Snik, Full to the Brim, performed by a 16-member male choir, Varda, Carpathia, USSR. Track 6, Speech in Klogan, by Okash from Northern Finland. Side B, Mbwosona Mapahia, Battle Song of the Bwounsa, performed by male members of the Kapam Kapam tribe, Angola, West Africa. Track 2, Kuyaskupuk Kwe Gami, or He is Happy Because He Came, performed by the Aniskastuk of the Tornasuk tribe, Siberia, USSR. Track 3, Amitabha Chenden Kala, or The Simultaneous Welcome of Amitabha, performed by the 12 monks of the Kagyupa sect, Bhutan. Track 4, Roya Kurilu, The Dawn Ceremony, performed by Sabane from Elaha, Brazil. And finally, track 5, Ragalata, performed by Palak Chawal, India. Okay, interesting stuff, but maybe pretty standard ethnomusicological fare. We open up the record, and we can find more detailed descriptions of each of the recordings. But when we look over in the lower right-hand side of the record, we find a block of text written in mirror reverse. What is this? Well, I held it up to the mirror, and I took a little photograph. And what we have here is Snow coming clean, his admission of what these musical recordings actually are. And I want to read you this much briefer selection of written material. It says here, "The music on this record is new music made in memory of the old. All the music on this record was played and performed and conceived and recorded by Michael Snow. Equipment used by Mr. Snow. Tandberg Cross Field Tape Recorder. Usher 24 Special Tape Recorder. Usher 4000 Report Tape Recorder. Sony TC-D5M Cassette Tape Recorder. TEAC Tascam 4-Track Porta Studio Cassette Tape Recorder. No synthesizer or sampler was used. Final master tape copies and adjustments by Paul Hodge at the Music Gallery, Toronto. Thanks to the Music Gallery for the loan of several instruments." The notes go on to explain how the music contained on this LP was made through tape manipulations, Michael Snow recording himself speaking in tongues, the plucking of rubber bands. All of it is a fraud. None of this is music from indigenous or vanishing cultures. And with this in mind, I think it's probably best to position this record, the last LP, alongside works by Orson Welles. Things like his radio play, The War of the World, or his late mockumentary, F is for Fake, in that the record purports to be something that it is not. And most of its interest lies in that discrepancy between what the record purports to be and what the record is. Now, there's a lot more I wish we had time to say about this record, but I also want us all to be able to hear it. So I'm going to quit with the gabbing and get this baby on the turntable and let you all listen to the last LP, Unique Last Recordings of the Music of Ancient Cultures by Michael Snow.
Nam ach ich darf am sie den klaff auf jetzt nicht die broken horse nee wird der lieber von was was ein kind fratret et oder uns nicht meine aber all auch gestehen all um kurz nehmen nein kraste roden was getan galat zu nehmen mit die abatske abatske kind krach ronskop in die aber so lo braber meine katzkol bin ich all hof na pratin bankel poskavi in kashlak marken kat ki kreg un was neben kreg noch was nigi ga kan was nigi gan da plafa kat nas nik pok na kat nik kat skorore niki loko pat pat kat ski ki karo tok makat da ki ta kabos na takan ki ki skalapat niki in kara koro signifikat kat kutus nik pat pat kat snit pat kat snit pat kat snat pat kat koska kit kina vaka loro minski di valo boski Ika fanam, ika kosne fika botne kopri, snidia pakadem, rokan hikis kat kata palopolo, snit kat ta fatski timbolo boka nikita bagunna nikita koskana. Dan karakika on uposna ene tapa, koska niitske lofring siniga ola minnaka, uppatskin da. Da knak, tike on mas ning isnivo kumtsi, fosna karadino lol, da kanamatski tikin kosna fansh, kin kapatokon tkitski va rondko migi teka pasna flofling kin skier skier konskovin ich ka lokomosh kata patatin tor kamats na ta pilika vaskat da ka shnavos da ka rigi mas niti da ushna fak pakam niki snofen da ka pup nika ta lauruk sti hera vehi shnafan technisch di von de Michael Snow
Prima sto qua la passo dipende pa onza.
Onza.
Mi grido col lupazzo che sveglia il tenente a patri e pa onza.
Pa onza.
Mogli beca col male su che cinte, ma non che si dimiche to pando pa la quale si ti vende, ma sveglia che da pa onza. Onza. Mi chito una la casa c'è cola, qua sotto pan, e so mo che dai lo io su do pa onza.
Onza.
Okoli kita poshon mala wa soto kole kit pat pol wa ba piti kam mu ba che ja patta ga do ba o wanza ai
o wanza
do wa kam tu pa ba to chka te ke uta ka to ke ko na ba mo so mamba tu pa to me ka le bo o wanza
o wanza
biki tu pa ba tu pa a chu pa o wanza
o wanza
ko te mal ko to pocho pal de te ke ba ba o wanza
Buonza!
Mi chiedo che tu sciofetti il limo con tutto io, Buonza!
Buonza!
Ma tu che mi chiedi a tu che sei che ti chiedo io, tu
Buonza! Buonza!
Mi chiedi a tu che tu puoi andare su che c'è palla, tu che c'è con palla, o se vuoi che te chiedi e ci stavo Buonza!
Buonza!
Ma che tu palla che tu manda, ci che ti chiedi che ha tu polo con su mamma, ma e con tu che vai che con Buonza!
Buonza!
Mi chiedi a tu palla che tu manda, se ci chiedi, a poi tu, tu vuoi che? Mi chiede, io ho giù qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua,
e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e
tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco
qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e
tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua, e tocco qua,
Buonza!
Ti metto con palla di cicola, vado a chiedere che quattro che pensi di là, buonza!
Buonza!
Tu fai con palla, tu fai con palla, Kwanza.
Cachon?
Oui, c'est ça, mon vieux.
Looking to make your first video?